next to the Forum 6 Tamworth and Wagga Wagga and the Odeon 5 Orange. It's the Talking Flickster podcast with JT and Grant Lee.
Hello. Yeah, it's time to talk movies. And, well, this is where Grant Lee and I take a bit of a back seat on the Wednesday episode, don't we, Mr. Lee? Because, well, we have a Flickster that joins us and they talk about the movie for us.
Which is so good, isn't it? We just ask a question and, yeah, they tell us about it. And then we go, oh, we should go see it now.
Yeah, well, this is drinks day, so this is where you and I get a nice cool beverage and we, you know, nice little cocktail or something. We sit back and we relax and we let our Flickster tell us all about an amazing movie. And we always, Mr. Lee, we love honesty, don't we?
Tell us
what you like and what you don't like about it. But we've had some great movies lately and they've all been very positive, haven't they? It's been great.
Yeah, they have. Well, look at last week, Kangaroo. You know, a young kid went and saw that and he really enjoyed it as much as what I did. So, yeah, it's nice to have great movies out at the moment. And being school holidays, oh, God, there's such a huge array of movies.
The movie this week, though, Mr. Lee, is One Battle After Another. Now, this is one where, look, I'm still a bit sour about this one because I had you locked in to do The Strangers Chapter 2 and you went and changed the goalposts, right? Because you're like, no, we've got to do this one. There's lots of Oscar talk. Then it's got to do this one.
Yep.
I'm like, screw the Oscar talk. No. This is yeah.
Hang on before we go on. What do you mean by screw the Oscar talk? I thought you'd be all for it because you won this year. Thought you'd be all it because this one is. It's so much about Oscars and there's talking about, you know, Sean Penn and Leonardo DiCaprio being unbelievable in this movie. Like Sean Penn, who we haven't seen for quite some time, he is incredible. So I've been told.
Yeah, well, this is what we're hearing, isn't it? So
yeah, it is.
Yes, well, we've got a flick start. We will find out what they think after we have a listen to the trailer.
Rise and shine.
Bat an eyelash.
Good morning.
There are no hands on the clock.
Why?
Because they're not needed.
What time is it?
You know, I don't remember that part. All right, let's just not nitpick over the passwords. This is Bob Ferguson. I was a part of the French 75.
Bitch, I felt like Tony Montana!
Steve Lockjaw just attacked my home, and I cannot remember, for the life of my only child, the answer to your question.
Maybe you should have studied the rebellion text a little harder.
I need to find my daughter.
Well, then call us back when you have the time.
Did you just...
You know, you are so unsuitable for my daughter. My child comes from a whole line of revolutionaries. And you look so lost. What are you gonna do about this baby?
You know what freedom is?
What?
No fear. Go!
Not one thing, it's another. Find that to be true.
I need you, brother. Please, sensei, please.
Courage, Bob. Courage.
That's it. Courage. Yeah. Thank you. Hey, thank you, Sensei. Thank you, Sensei. Thank you. God damn it. Viva la revolution!
Oh, yeah. That's One Battle After Another, Mr. Lee. We like the sound of it. But what did our talking flickster think?
It'll be interesting to find out. And I'd like to introduce you to our talking flickster today. And it's Michael. Hello, Michael. How are you?
G'day, how you guys going?
Mate, welcome. Got a grand fan feather for you. The crowd love you already. Nice in a few words. This is going to be great. Welcome back, mate, because we've had you on before. You did a great job last time. What was it? It was Black Bag, I think we
That's discussed. It, yeah.
Yeah, which is a fantastic movie. But, well, this is One Battle After Another, and We could have been doing Strangers Chapter 2 right now, but anyway, I will shut up about that. Okay, please tell me, did this live up to the hype? Am I going to be happy?
I would say this is one of the best movies I've seen this year, by far. And getting to that. We're nearly late in the year, and I guess it's Oscar buzz season, so they're releasing these sort of movies now. And yeah, I've watched quite a few movies this year, and I'd say this is one of the best I've seen.
This is great, Michael, because I'm going to quiz you throughout the podcast on the Oscars, just so I can get a few bits of it. You know, I may as well start warming up now. Why not? We're only a few months away from it. But yeah, okay. Look, let's go back to the very start, because I've got so many questions about this movie, because I'm still trying to grasp what it's about.
Well, it was all about, you know, multicultural sort of, you know, make equal rights against black people and their race, and how these people are in a revolution trying to make a point against the military and the government that we are equal, basically. And Leo is one of the head in this group, and he's in love with one of the African-American women in this group. And this is what it's about. It's just, they're just trying to make a point, trying to make that, you know, that foreign people, black people are equal, like white people, etc. And that's what the film's about, but it leads to consequences. Like, things start to happen and they're on the run and they become fugitives, and it's just constantly a ring around the rosy. It just keeps going to different suspense and different twists and turns, and you're just constantly on the edge of your seat.
That's really gripped me. Now, so you were saying that, you know, he fell in love. So in the trailer, I heard that did she go disappear or something, and then there's a daughter involved?
That's it. Yeah, around the first act, she gets pregnant and then she disappears, and then Leo's left with the daughter, and there's like a time jump. And what happens later, the daughter's older, and they're like fugitives, because the woman that got pregnant, she ends up getting caught by the military, and she has to let out information about the names that are in this revolution, and this was her way to get out of jail. And because of this, they're all on the run, and it's been 16 years, and they're all in different places around the hemisphere, and they're just still hiding. But once it gets to the 16-year time jump, this is when they're about to get caught and they're on the run.
Oh, look, the plot sounds great, and so many awesome characters in this movie. But who was your favorite? Who did you find most compelling, and why?
Mate, the Colonel, played by Sean Penn. He just, that character, every scene that Sean Penn was in, he's a scene stealer. And he's such a good character actor. Every movie I see him in, he's always getting into the character, and he plays it in such a malevolent, twisted, two-faced character. But he's meant to be the good guy, but you kind of side with the people who are, you know, like Leo and all that. You side with them, even though they're meant to be the bad people in the way it's portrayed. Like, he's in the military, he's meant to be the cookie cutter good guy, but he's actually not. He's actually bad, and he takes advantage of his power, and that's what makes him so scary. And you don't know what to expect from him. He's just that sort of character where he doesn't reveal too much, but there's a side to him, there's like different sides to him where you're like, oh, what kind of person is he? When you kind of, because when you first see him, you know, he's just doing his job, but as time goes on, you see how twisted he is as a character.
Do you reckon he will get an Oscar nom as well as Leo, or do you think just Sean Penn will get the Oscar nom
for best actor? I would be shocked if Sean doesn't get nominated for Best Supporting Actor or Best Lead Actor. I predict that Leo and Sean will both get nominated for Best. Like, he'll get nominated for Best Actor. Sean will probably get nominated for Best Supporting Actor. And I reckon Sean might win it.
So it'll be up for Best Picture for sure. What about the director, Paul Thomas Anderson?
Best director, yeah. Best film, best screenplay, best actor, best supporting actor. And I reckon even the daughter, she could possibly get an Oscar nomination as well. The one that plays Leo's daughter, I reckon she could possibly get something. Yeah.
Okay, so what was Regina Hall like? She played Deandra, a French 75 member. What was she like? Because she normally plays a comedian or, you know, rom-com or something like that. I've never seen her in a movie like this.
You know, it's funny. I've seen her. What I know her from is Scary Movie, and she plays like Anna Faris's best friend. And I have all of a sudden seen her sort of get into these serious roles, and I'm glad that she's not being pigeonholed in the industry, because that's sort of what happens. You're known for a certain genre, and that's all you usually get. But she's proven that she's very good in this, and she's the one that is part of the revolution, and she's trying to help Leo's daughter from getting caught by the military. Like, she's trying to help her get to this particular safety point where they're all meant to meet up. Yeah, and it's really good. Yeah. Well, she does a very good job.
Can we just talk about Leonardo DiCaprio for a second? Now, Leo, you know, it's always hit and miss with Leo for me. I mean, Titanic, loved him in. Then I watched this shocking movie called The Beach. I'm sorry, but in my top five worst movies of all time, it's up there. I just do not understand it. It just blows my mind when I watch it. I'm like, oh my God, this is warped. You know, then he bounces back. You get him in a great movie like Wolf of Wall Street. How do you obviously, he's really ticked all the boxes in this particular movie, though.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And he is, as he's gone on as an actor, he's very strategic and particular about the roles that he picks. And as of late, because The Beach came out, 2000 when that came out?
Yeah, it was 2000. And
I feel like, since The Wolf of Wall Street, he has just done a number of phenomenal films like The Revenant, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Killers of the Flower Moon. What else has he done? The Shutter Island, which I thought was really good.
Is that where he was the cop and didn't know?
That's it. And there was like a big twist in the end. Yeah. And it was thought it was haunted, but it was actually a twist in the end involving his wife killing his kids, which was really, really cool. Yeah. Mm. And he was a mental health patient the whole time. And that was such a cool twist. Yeah.
That was.
And that's Leo. Leo always picks outside the box films. And he knows a good script when he sees one, and he always works with the best directors. You know, Paul Thomas Anderson, Martin Scorsese, Steven Spielberg. He works with the best. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I still think he could have fit on The Door. That's my opinion. I mean, we'll never know, I suppose. But you know, he could have survived.
Definitely. I don't know if you've watched MythBusters, but MythBusters proved that they could have survived on The Door.
Oh, hey, come on. But what type of ending would that have been? It wouldn't have been a good ending.
Exactly, yeah.
We couldn't have Titanic 2 because, I suppose we could. And it'd be called the love story of the two of them, Rose and whatever his name was.
Just imagine having such a good role and being in such a fantastic movie and then you die. Like, it's just not a nice way to end it, is it? Like, that's...
But there was a point where Leo would die in nearly every movie he was in. And I don't know if there was a point in Titanic and The Departed and Blood Diamond and all these movies, he's always dying at the end of the film. And it was like, does Leo die again in this one, you know?
and you know, it's funny that some actors actually have a certain thing they do. Like Tom Cruise, he runs in movies. That's his thing. Yeah. He runs. What's the guy who eats all the time in a movie? He's got to be eating. Matthew McConaughey, I think it is. He has to eat in every movie in a scene. Like there's so many actors that do certain things and you go, yeah, okay, I've seen that now. And once you hear it, you go, yeah, okay, yeah. Very strange.
I still prefer to scoff my face and die, Mr. Lee.
That's true. Yeah. But, hey, here we are still talking, you know, what was that, nearly 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and here we are still talking about Titanic, and he died. So if it was a love story, maybe, and they, you know, grew up together and lived happily ever after, we may not be talking about it.
Well, that's exactly right. Yeah.
But anyway, we digress. Sorry. Going back to One Battle After Another.
Sorry.
I'll steer us back onto the right movie. So, Michael, was there a scene or a moment that surprised you big time in this movie? Without spoilers, of course.
Without spoilers, there's just moments where you're on the edge of your seat where Leo's on the run. He's trying to get away from the military. And there's a scene where he can't remember a passcode from 16 years ago. And he's getting really frustrated and he can't figure out this answer that this person wants to give. He needs to give him so he can give him the safety point of where to go to meet up. And he can't figure it out. And it's just really funny. And he's also in the middle of getting, you know, chased by the military and everything. So it's like he can't figure it out. And he's just running from place to place while he's on the phone trying to figure it out while he's getting chased. And it's really engaging, you know?
Yeah, I know how frustrating he's trying to remember the passwords, especially after, geez, I can't think of it after a few weeks, let alone 16 years. You know, God, you know, have to enter it again. Forget password.
I've got to tell you a funny story. I have an app that has all my passwords in it, right? Yeah, sometimes I forget what the password is to get into the app to get my passwords. Yeah. So I hear what Leo's saying, I tell you.
It's awful, I'm 16 isn't it? Years.
It is. It's awful. But I think that's age.
But it's a movie. It's a movie that's got a bit of dark comedy. It's an action. It's a crime. It's a drama. It's a thriller. But when you look at balancing out action, satire, and the drama, how does the film do that?
Well, Paul is just—he's really good at balancing it out. Because I think he screenwrote this film as well. He's a very good screenwriter. He knows how to balance it out with the humor and drama and mixing it all together. And it feels believable. It doesn't feel forced. It feels natural. And I actually believe that this would be like a funny, serious situation. You know how you're in a moment where you're laughing about it in the end because it's so ridiculous? That's sort of how it feels, the scenes in this movie, without spoiling it. And he balances it really well, yeah.
Because he's actually directed Boogie Nights.
Oh, your favorite movie, Mr. Lee.
Oh, that movie.
When I saw that, I just went, are you kidding me? He's gone from Boogie Nights to this movie. That's a huge difference, isn't it?
It is.
It's going from one extreme to another.
But
talented director to be able to do that. So that's really good.
Definitely.
He's a talented actor, a talented director, I should say, if he can do that. So, kudos to him. So, yeah. Now, tell me, with Bob Ferguson's transformation over the course of the story, how did that evolve?
Well, he started off as a respected member of the Revolutionary, and then 16 years later, he's a reefer addict, he's an alcoholic, he's paranoid about getting caught by the military because they're like fugitives, and he doesn't let his daughter have a mobile phone or anything like that. And she literally is actually has a mobile phone in secret and doesn't tell him. And there's a scene in the movie where he goes to school to talk to the teacher about how she's doing with her grades, and the teacher's saying how well she's doing, and he gets really emotional and depressed. And it just shows you, it's so funny because the teacher's like, oh, this must be really emotional for you. And he's just like, oh, it's so funny. You have to watch it to see how ridiculous the scene is because it's so unusual for a parent to get emotional about a kid doing well with the grades. And because she never knew a mother and all this sort of stuff. And he can't tell the teacher that they're fugitives and that they're, you know, in hiding and all that sort of stuff. And he's happy that the daughter is doing well and that she's not strained by all this like he is.
Which you would think she would be too, wouldn't you? You'd think after what she's been through, from what you're saying, you'd think that she'd be struggling at school and doing things. So that's good. Yeah, I get emotional about my kids.
Yeah.
not about schoolwork. I won't say that. Well, I probably do because they didn't know. Anyway, we won't go there because they could be listening.
They listen all the time, Mr. Lee. I'm sure they criticize you just like my kids criticize me. Now, let's talk about the ending, Michael. Now, the conclusion, we won't give too much away, but were you satisfied or did you want a different kind of ending?
The way it ended was like it mirrored the start of the movie. The way it started and the way it ended was like it mirrored each other. And I thought Paul was very clever how he did it. And I'm not going to spoil what I mean by that, but people who watch it will know what I mean. And I thought he ended it on a very clever note. Like he just mirrored the start and the ending. It just goes full circle, if that explains it well.
I think we'll have to go see it to understand it. And I think that has really enticed me to go see it.
And stay for the credits always, right? Because I bet you there's something hidden in the credits.
I don't know if there's a like a, you know, ending credit scene. That's the thing with Marvel. Everyone thinks now every movie has a mid credit scene. It's like it's expected. It has to be.
No, well, I always stay right to the end because I like to acknowledge all the people who worked on the movie. So.
That's fair enough.
Getting buzzed out, Mr. Lee. Lame.
Okay. You can tell I work in the industry, so there you go.
Mate, I'm running down the steps before the lights come on. No. We should pay a tribute to the people that are. I'm not sitting there though. I'm not sitting there for 15 minutes to see who was the seventh key grip of the movie, right? Who was the gaff boy, right? I'm not sitting there for that, Mr. Lee.
I think you should. But anyway, I made you sit through when we went and saw Final Destination. I made you sit there.
Yeah, you did. But there were little bits in you kind of had to stay for that because there was. Yeah. But this is what they're doing nowadays, I think, to keep people there, right? They're putting. They're sticking stuff in the credits because, you know, and then they go away and it comes back again. It's smart.
Yeah, it is. It is because, it makes our job harder if we've got to clean because usually once everyone leaves, we can go in and clean. But it's funny because when I went and watched Kangaroo last week, I actually stayed right to the end and I went, oh, okay, nothing. Right, okay. But I looked at everyone's names.
That's nice. That's nice, isn't it? Yeah. Do you remember them all?
No.
Did you go right to them?
No. But exactly you never know. There might be someone there that you may know. Or you recognise their name and you go, oh, look at that. They worked on, you know, such and such a movie or that movie. So,
Michael, we're going to leave him in his little corner.
look, you know what? I reckon Michael does sit right through to the end of movies because he's a movie buff like me.
We don't know him, Michael. We're gonna go. You and I will open the freezer.
Oh dear.
Sorry, Mr.
So Michael, it's all good. Michael, out of 5 Chock Tops, how many Chock Tops are you gonna give this movie, One Battle After Another?
I don't think this is gonna come as a surprise. 5 Chock Tops. It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I think we were expecting that. Yeah.
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
That's great.
So that really makes you want to go and see it.
You should. It's. And I'm glad that you chose this movie over The Strangers too.
Yeah.
You know what,
Thank
Michael?
You. Thank
Things
you.
Were going really well for you, mate. I've got to buzz you out now.
I'm pleased. And as I said to JT some weeks ago when I changed it, it has got Oscar buzz already, and so we've got to do it because next year when we talk about Oscars, we say, yep, we sent Michael to that movie, and he predicted 5 out of 5 Chock Tops and predicted it'll be this best film, best actor. There you go.
Michael, thanks so much for joining us, mate.
No worries. It's an honour.
Do appreciate it.
For anyone looking to go and see the movie this week or this weekend, what's one final thing you'd say to those that are umming and ahhing whether to go see it?
Just if you want a movie that's on the edge of your seat, you're just going to have a really good time. Even though it goes for like 3 hours, I will say it goes for 3 hours, it feels like a breeze. It really feels like a breeze. You're just enjoying every minute of it.
3 hours?
That's all I can say. Yeah.
Wow.
And Leo, how many movies is Leo in that goes for over 2.5 hours? I mean, he's known for that at this point.
Correct.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah, he is. Look at the flowers. Look at how long that was.
It's very good. Very good indeed. Well, we're going to get out of here, Mr. Lee. Yep. Before we go, you get to choose the music this week. Would you like an Irish jig or some big band?
Oh, let's go big band.
I wasn't expecting that one. Hold on. I thought you'd go the Irish. Okay. All right.
Oh, that's it. That's definitely.
Yeah, happy with that?
Yeah, I am. Thank you.
Okay, well, we'll play this while you tell us what's happening on Friday's show.
Sure. So on Friday, I've got some news about some Simpsons. which will be very interesting. And the biggest, worst-kept secret over the last week, we're going to be talking about Taylor Swift and her concert. It was amazing. Like, we found out a day and everyone else found out on the same day, and we were embargoed and weren't allowed to say anything about it, which was quite interesting. So,
yeah,
I'll tell you more about that anyway on Friday when we catch up and have a chat on Friday.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. The other great thing about big band music, Mr. Lee.
Yep.
I can drown you out. Hear a bit of that, right? A bit of the trumpet. We'll catch you on Friday at midday.
Bye.
Want to be our next Talking Flickster? Register now at forum6.com.au or odeon5.com.au. Until next time, we'll see you at the movies.